Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Favor is the blessing of God. It's the grace of God. I'll never forget 7 years ago, perhaps, Len and I were in an airplane and we were at DIA and we were getting ready to take off to fly to Tulsa. The stewardess asked me to move to the other side of the plane. Now, I really didn't want to do that because who wouldn't want to sit by that pretty lady? Lana's the back. Lana, wave your hand. But I moved to the side of the plane, to the other side of the plane, and as we were taking off, I began to engage in conversation with a new friends. It just so happened their names were Russ and Wendy Tatro. They were from Tulsa, but they'd been missionaries in Cameroon and Liberia for 28 years. And so as we began to talk about ministry, and at that time I was dean of Rocky Mountain Bible Institute, and they were all over the world themselves, somewhere about 7 miles in the air, Russ Tatro turns to me and he hands me, he says, I have a 2-year Bible school in Spanish, fully developed, lectures, tests, everything. I'd like to give this to you. And I says, well, we don't do anything in Spanish at Rocky Mountain Bible Institute. And I politely refused. Well, about 3 months later, the Lord sends a missionary to RMBI, Sherry Heitington. And Sherry came all the way from Estonia. And so after the chapel service, she came to my office, and we're talking about the world and ministry. She said, out of the blue, she said, you know, there's a man who has a 2-year Bible school in Spanish. And I said, Russ Tatro? And she said, how do you know him? I said, I met him 7 miles in the air. He offered me this program. She said, you need this. You need this. And I said, Sherry, we don't do anything in Spanish at Rocky Mountain Bible Institute. She said, you need it. I'm having it sent to you. So a few days later, it came to me. And it was on a CD-ROM. And I looked at it, and I took it, and I put it on my table in my study there in the office, and went on into Cuba a couple days later. When I got back from Cuba, about 3 weeks later after getting back from Cuba, one day, sitting there, I turned around and I looked and I saw this CD-ROM and I thought, oh my God, what have I got here? And so I called Sam Santos, a Puerto Rican who took us into Cuba. And I said, Sam, I said, listen, I've got a 2-year Bible school in Spanish, fully developed, lectures, everything, exams, everything. Could we use this in Cuba? And on the other end of the line, I heard a man begin to weep and cry. He said, oh, Pastor Russ, I've been praying for 13 years for a Bible school for Cuba. Favor. 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 7 miles in the air. God had to move me across an airplane. And so that was 6 years ago. And now 3,486 schools later in 32 nations, 71,000 students, 7,500 graduates, and 70 more nations in view. See, the favor for God is the ability and the access to the opportunity that He puts before you. And so over these years, we've lived in that favor. After we transitioned from RMBI to go to the nations, we were wondering, okay, now, how's all this going to work, you know? We've got these cars and these car payments and, of course, house and all of this. And we're going to have to begin to live by faith. You know, it's easier to preach it than live by it. But a man from out of state in the state of Arkansas called me and he said, Brother Russ, he says, how much do you owe on your Toyota? I said, $9,872. He said, I'm going to send you a check and pay for that car. About a month later, he calls me up again. He says, how much does Lana owe on her Sienna? And I say, she owes about $13,000. He said, I'm going to send you a check. And he paid off both of those cars. You see, the favor of God is what allows us to do what God calls us to do. I'm sitting in a restaurant in Athens, Texas, and I'm having lunch with a man and his wife. I'd never met the man before. Some friends of ours had told him about us. And we're sitting there, we're talking. He says, tell me about Joshua Nations. And so I begin to tell him about Joshua Nations. In the middle of the conversation, he turns to somebody else. And I thought, well, I guess he's not interested in that. And about 5 minutes later, he turns his head back. He said, on the way to church this morning, my wife and I decided to give you a check for $25,000. Favor. Favor. A year later, I'm in Alabama at Spring Park visiting Lana's folks, and I'm walking around Spring Park and I'm praying and just refreshing and relaxing. I get a phone call, and another man from out of state, well, it was Arkansas, and he says, Brother Russ, how you doing? I said, real good. He says, listen, I've got a bunch of gold. And I put that phone a little bit closer. He said, I've got a bunch of gold that I need to sell, and I wanted to send it to you. And he said, it's quite a bit. And I put that phone a little bit closer. And he said, it's worth $54,000. And I put that phone all the way in my eardrum. Favor. Now, that was 6 years ago, and that's all spent, in case you're thinking I'm well-healed. Just want to let you know that, you know. But you see, these are the favor of God, and why shouldn't God cover all of us with favor? Jesus and John the Baptist grew in favor and wisdom and understanding. Jesus grew in favor with God and favor with man. God gives us favor. It's a growth process. And the longer we're in the walk and the longer we give ourselves to Him unreservedly and surrender ourselves to Him. And as Pastor said Sunday morning about that word radical, it's a radical kind of lifestyle that will bring great favor from God. And so we're to grow in favor, and Jesus did that. Now in Ruth, we see 10 levels of favor in chapter 2. I was reading the scripture through the first time this year, and as I come through the book of Ruth, the Holy Spirit just dropped into my heart that which I'm going to share you tonight, and did it just like that. It was the quickest message I ever got. I mean, and I wish you'd do that all the time, huh, Pastor? You know, just like that, you know, 30 minutes and we'd have it. But we see incredible and increasing favor of blessing in the life of Ruth. And I want you to see tonight that this same kind of favor can operate in your life. This same kind of favor can operate in all of our lives, but you must expect it. It's not just going to happen. You can't think, well, everybody gets all the favor and God's not thinking about me. No, you have to expect the truth from the scripture and bring it into your heart and embrace it and mix it with faith, and then you can live in that. I mean, it's a whole lot better to expect favor than it is to expect what our government is offering, than what recession has to offer. Hello? I mean, don't settle for the lesser. It takes a whole lot less effort to believe God and His word than it does the opinions of anybody else. Are you with me? It takes a whole lot less effort to believe God. It's easier to get it by faith and favor than it is by flesh and works. Now, some of you didn't get that. It's a whole lot easier to get it in faith than it is to get it in the flesh. And so it takes much less effort to do that. Now, Proverbs says, favor is better than silver and gold. Therefore, seek favor. Amen. I mean, favor is better than anything you can get in a material sense. Favor is the ability and the access to the opportunity that God gives to us every single day. And so the banqueting table is set. And the table for favor is set. And so in Ruth chapter 2, we're going to look at 10 levels of favor. Now, great communicators say you should only give 3 thoughts for people to handle. But you see, you folks are able to handle 10. Amen. So that gets me off the hook. And you've got them all written down there. And so you can take those with you, you know, and do what you want with them and study it yourself and put some meat on it and preach it somewhere and make it real good. Okay. But you know the story of Ruth. Her mother Naomi and her husband had left Bethlehem. They'd gone down into Gentile country. There was a famine there in Bethlehem. And while they were down there, her husband died, and she had two sons. And those two sons married Orpha and Ruth, who were Gentile ladies. Then 10 years after the marriage, they died. And so Naomi, Ruth, and Orpha are at a place to where Naomi's going to go back to Bethlehem. She tries to persuade her daughter-in-laws not to come with her. But Ruth, as we know, went with her to come back to Bethlehem as a widow, and they both came back as widows. And so that's kind of the background. And so we pick it up in chapter 2, and we first of all want to talk about there is common favor. In Ruth 2:2, and we'll begin with verse 1, it says, "Now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem. He's named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth, a Moabite, said to Naomi, 'Let me go into the harvest and pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do so.'" Now, this is common favor. Common favor is like common grace. There's a common grace that God pours out on all of the world. There's a common love of God that He sheds on every person on the face of the earth, whether they know it or not. And so common favor is like that. It's a good God who does good things for His kids. Now, the New Testament says that Jesus was kind to sinners. And Jesus was a friend of sinners. Why aren't we? And it says the goodness of God leads man to repentance. And this is that common grace and favor that God has for everybody. So Ruth goes into the corners of the harvest field, and this is where the common and poor people would go. You know the custom. They would harvest and they would leave shocks of grain there in the corners of the field. And then poor people, common people, anybody who was not a harvester could go into the corners of the field, and then they could harvest the shocks of grain. Then they would have something to eat. I want to tell you that there is a place that you can go. There is a place that I can go. There is a place that anybody can go today, to a field of peace and a field of rest and a field of hope. And this is God's common place for everybody to go, because common favor is for everybody. And so that's where we begin. There's common favor for all of us. I expect it every day. I pray for it all the time. Lord, give me favor. But the most important thing is to have favor with God first, and then favor with man. If you have favor with man and you've not had favor with God, I want to tell you, that's not good. We don't need favor with man in that sense. But when we have favor with God, God will favor dispose those around us to us so that we can have favor with them. And this is the common favor that God has for all mankind. Now, Ruth has this common favor, and then she has number two, what I call there is close-in favor. And we see that in verse 3 in chapter 2. It says, "So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters, and it just so happened she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech." You see, it just so happened that I was sitting next to Russ and Wendy Tatrell, 7 miles in the air. It just so happened that a missionary from Estonia said, "You need this." And it just so happened that God finally got through to me, opened my eyes and opened my heart and said, "Hey, I've got something here for you and for the nations and for the world. Why don't you wake up and realize I've done a work of favor for you?" Amen. And it was just like this. And so it just so happened that Ruth ended up in the field of Boaz, who's a type of Christ, as we know. She's in a wealthy, influential man's field. It just so happened now she's coming in closer. You see, common favor will bring you to this closer in favor. And now she's going to be close. And now she's going to be in place next to this man who eventually is going to redeem her, protect her, and marry her, and then release the other blessings of God to her. God was positioning and placing her there. Now, I know what it's like to be positioned in place. I remember 43 years ago in Lafayette, Indiana, I was a bartender, and in the nightclub scene, I was managing a restaurant. And one day in my restaurant, it was in a kind of a mall, and all of the businessmen would come in and have donuts and coffee. And so as they were coming in, all of a sudden, I saw this beautiful girl walk in. She's right back there. And I looked at her and I thought, wow, man, does she look good. And my thoughts were not pure, I'll tell you. But anyway, she looked good. And so God brought us together, and she invited me to go to church. And Sunday afternoons, I would have to drink all afternoon so I got up enough courage so I could go to church. And it was worth it to sit there and put my arm around her and get a little close in, you see. But God was getting me in position, so that he could bring me to the place where his Holy Spirit could tender my heart and I could be born again and called to preach and be here tonight. Amen. God does good work, doesn't he? But he will position you, he will place you, he will put you in position close in and bring you in closer to that, to where he wants you to be, so he can do that big thing that he wants to do in your life. God can do more in a moment than all of the works of the flesh can do. Amen. God can do more than all of the manipulating can do. And you don't have to put yourself forward, and you don't have to promote somebody and scratch them on the back and hope they give you something back. Pure favor of God will bypass all of the works of the flesh to where you can move in a faith realm to where God can release to you to do what he wants you to do. And I'm convinced there's greater things that every single one of you have never even imagined, never even thought. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And there's things waiting. God's ready to bring you closer in to that place to where you can enter into his ultimate favor to do what he wants to do. Then there's noticing favor. I like this. In fact, it says this several times in this chapter that Boaz noticed her. Notice in verse 5, then Boaz asked his foreman, who is that young woman over there? Uh-oh. And then he says, who does she belong to? Now, that's the first thing I said in my mind when I saw Lana walk in that restaurant. Well, she probably belongs to somebody else, because I was an introvert at that time and I was a mess, you know, and I didn't think a beautiful girl like that would even think about going out with me. And this is what Boaz said, who is that? And so she caught his attention. He was interested in her. Really, that's what it means. He's thinking, golly, look at her. And I want to get to know her. And here's Boaz, and she's a widow Gentile from a foreign land, and he's a wealthy, influential Jew. And you know, isn't it amazing how God can bypass our mindsets, how God can bypass our thinking, culture, race, everything else? When it comes down to what God wants to get, God's going to get it. Amen? When it comes down to what God's going to do, he's going to get it done. And it doesn't matter anything to anybody or anything at all. He's God. That's why he's God. And he has the ability to bypass all systems and all things and all of the things we put up. God can do it. He's the greatest setup artist there is. Amen. He's the greatest matchmaker there is, too. I want to tell you right now, so some of you ladies quit that, okay? But he's the best in the business, and he's here tonight in our presence wanting to set you up in a new deal, in a new place, in a new level, and begin to bring you into his heart so he can give to you what he wants you to have. You don't have all that he wants you to have right now. Hello? You don't have it, folks. I'm sorry. And I don't have it either. But I'm on my way to getting it. Amen. God's got a few more things to set up for me before I finish 25 years from now. Amen? And so Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, our Boaz, noticed us for salvation 43 years ago on a cold winter night in the continent of North America, in the state of Indiana. In the Creasy Lane Baptist Church, here was this old drunk, and here was this guy they could smell 10 pews away. Booze, that is, okay? And sitting next to that pretty lady, and then the Holy Spirit just dropped in on me and convicted me and showed me for the first time in my life that Jesus is who I needed. I mean, that's, God noticed me. Isn't that amazing? God noticed me. Where were you when God noticed you? Amen. God notices you. God notices me every single day. His thoughts are toward me, and his mind is on me, and I'm on his prayer list, and you're number two. Amen. Amen. He's our intercessor, but you're there too, but I'm number one because I need it more than you do. Oh, come on. Somebody in here knows what I'm talking about. You know how God took notice of you? And he takes notice every single day. There was an old lady, Gladys Johnson, when I was in that Baptist church, and boy, she could plunk that old piano, and she was about 80 years old, and she would sing that song, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Now, at that time, I was a shouting Baptist. About the time she got on that, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me, and I sing because I'm happy," I would get up and, "Woo!" That was a shouting Southern Baptist church, you know, and they had to come over and set me down. Of course, you don't believe that, but anyway, my wife will tell you that's true. But the eyes of the Lord, as Pastor George said Sunday morning, flash to and fro across the face of the earth, looking for those in whom he can prove himself mighty and prove himself that he is a mighty God, and there is nothing that he cannot do. There is nothing that he cannot do. Number four. We've got to keep moving here. Don't you all get me holed up somewhere. Well, number four is there is hardworking favor. Now, I want to camp out here just a little bit. And the foreman replied, "She's the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters, and she's been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes rest in the shelter." There is hard-working favor. God will give unprecedented positional favor to those who will work hard. Now, here's something I got all by myself. There's no anointing on lazy. Amen. Amen? There's no anointing on lazy. Favor doesn't come to the lazy person who's been gifted and given all the things of God and has all the benefits of the Word of God and the things of God, but they're lazy. Favor doesn't come to a lazy person and to the ones who are trying to work the system. Doesn't come to those. Don't shout me down now. There's many lazy people in ministry. Do you know that? Yeah. A lot of lazy people in ministry. I will bless anybody but a lazy person. They may not be doing it right. Someone else could probably do it better. But they're doing the best they can, and they're doing it. Give me somebody who's doing it. He may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but he's doing it. I praise God for those people that are doing it. Those are the ones that I want to support. Those are the ones I want to help. And I'm not taking up an offering. I support people like that. I do it. Hardworking people, you see. So she worked from morning to night with only a few minutes of break. There's hard work and favor. And if you're a hard worker, that's one of the things my daddy taught me was hard work. Yeah, I was mowing the grass for a quarter an hour when I was 7 years old. Come on now. Some of y'all were doing that. Bought my first fishing rod for $2.75. It was a gray rod down at the general store in the town of Morley, New York. It had 300 people. Now I learned, I was mowing grass, and I learned a work ethic. God anoints a work ethic. God anoints those who will work hard, and he will bring them, I said, into unprecedented workings of God. Say, well, that's not me. Now, don't talk that way. You know better than that. You're just talking yourself out of the favor of God. Somebody ought to say, that's me. Somebody ought to say, that's me. All right, I believe it. Number five, there's increasing favor. And in verse 8, we see the increasing favor coming to Ruth. Now, notice she's coming up levels of favor into the ultimate favor and position with God. Boaz went over and said to Ruth, listen, my daughter, stay here with us when you gather grain. Don't go into any other fields. I know what's in his mind. Stay right here behind the young women working hard in my field. And now things are getting better and better for Ruth. Remember, she's a widow. She's come out of a Gentile country. She's left her family. She's left her ancestors. And now she's coming to be a part of another whole situation. And now God's beginning to bring her in, and she's got favor with Boaz, and now he's talking to her, and things are getting better and better for Ruth. I want to tell you tonight, things are getting better and better for us. Amen. Amen. Things are getting better and better and better for you and for me in the kingdom of God. They're getting better. God's got some better plans. He's got some better deals. He's got some better insights. He's got some better dreams. He's got some better visions. He's got some better for you and for me. And I'm right in the middle of that. Amen? Now somebody said, oh, wait a minute, preacher, now. You didn't watch the TV yesterday, and you haven't been reading the newspapers, and don't you hear what they're saying? Hey, I'm reading a different book. Amen? Amen? Now, I know that's simple, but I'm reading a different book. I'm getting news from somewhere else. Am I hiding my head in the sand? No. Am I being foolish? No. Am I being presumptuous? No. But there's something a whole lot better here, and things are getting better and better and better for us and going to get for the body of Christ. We're going to rise up with wings as eagles. We're going to rise up with healing in our wings. We're going to rise up in power and a new sense of urgency for the kingdom of God. Things are getting better. I don't know about you, but they're getting better for me. I can hear the sound in the mulberry leaves. I can see that little hand in the sky. There's something stirring in my spirit. And the scripture says, to him who has, more will be given. To him who has. So you better start getting this word. You better start getting the power of the Holy Spirit. You better start getting some things out of heaven through prayer. You better start getting some things in here, because the more you have, the more you're going to have. The more you get, the more you're going to have. I'm stockpiling some things for these days ahead in the spirit realm, because the days are coming. And if you don't have much word, God can't multiply it. If you don't have a flow of the Spirit that's mighty and awesome, God can't bring you to where He wants you to be. So it's in the Word and in the Spirit and the power of God. You see, God's favor on us never diminishes, but it always increases. It always increases. She has increasing favor. It's getting better for Ruth, and it's getting better for us in the body of Christ to do what God wants us to do. You see, He's bringing her into the main field of harvest. Are you there? Are you in your main field of harvest? Amen. He's bringing her into that. Because He's going to bring her on to the greatest thing that could ever take place for the whole world to receive. And so He's bringing her in. And God has a main field of harvest. I prophesy some of you are going to be moving. And some of you are going to be leaving what you're doing. And God's going to bring you into a whole nother realm. In talking with bankers and doctors and lawyers and surgeons and teachers and people all over the world, everywhere I go, people on airplanes, they're giving up what they're doing. They've had a good career. It's been good. God's blessed them. And they're selling all, and they're going here, they're going there. They're ready to make the next 30, 40 years count for the kingdom. I mean, everywhere. I hear it everywhere. New stories all the time. I want to tell you, it's moving time. It's moving time for me. I'm coming back from Thailand and just finished a great time with Ajay and Nancy, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm preparing you. And I said, for what? He didn't answer me. He's always that way, isn't he? I guess I tipped my water over. That's all right. But I don't know what it is. That doesn't mean I'm going to quit doing what I'm doing. No. And we're raising up teams. But I don't know what it is. But every time God does a major move in my life, He starts to speak to me 2 years before He does it. So, Lana, get ready. I don't know. But I know He's preparing me as a person, as an individual, as a father, as a husband, and as a leader. He's preparing me for even yet a greater main field of harvest. I want to tell you today, you're closer than you think. Some of you have been praying. Some of you have been waiting. Some of you have been wondering. I want you to know that it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's closer than you think. The favor of God is just going to drop upon you, and before you know it, just like that, God's going to release you into something you never imagined and make it possible. I'm not talking about doing something foolish. Don't go out and sell your house tomorrow. Where are you going to live? You can't live with me. I'm not talking about that. But incrementally begin to position your life to such a place that when the favor comes, you're ready to flow with the favor. How many of y'all ready for an upgrade? Amen? It's time for an upgrade to first class in the spiritual realm. Man, I want a first class upgrade. I need a first class upgrade. I need that for what's ahead and for what's coming and what God wants to do. And so number six, there is protection favor. Notice in verse number 9, there is protection favor. He said, see what part of the field they're harvesting and follow them. I've warned the young man not to treat you roughly. And when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water that they've drawn from the well. Thank you. Boy, was that on time. Thank you, Patty. I tell you. I didn't see her coming. I better not set that back down there. So there's protection favor. Now, Ruth was a fine-looking young lady, and when she came into the field, All those young men started to mouth around and notice that new girl that's coming to the harvest field. And so the favor, she's given favor to be protected. He said, I've told them to leave you alone. You're okay here. You're going to be safe. As a widow, she was without rest. As a widow, she was without protection. And so now she comes into the field. And Psalms 5:12 says that he surrounds us with favor as a shield. Glory to God. Boy, I've seen that work over and over and over and over. He surrounds us with favor as a shield. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, expect that favor of God. Psalms 90:17 says, his favor rests upon us. We have divine protection. We've got to have it in this hour and in what we're going to be coming into. We've got to have protection from God and the angels and his power and his forces. Number 7, and I like this one. This is inside favor. Look at verse 10. Boaz, it says, when Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly, says, what have I done to deserve such kindness? She asked, I am only a foreigner. Then verse 11, he said, yes, I know, replied Boaz, but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I've heard how you left your mother and father in your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. Boaz is saying, I know some things about you that you don't know that I know. God knows some things about you that you don't know. God knows some things about me that I don't know. You see, God's well aware of what's happened. He says, you know, I know you left your Gentile family to come to be to our Jewish family. You've left your God to our God, and I know all of these things about you. Ruth didn't have a clue that he knew this about her. And we don't have a clue what God knows about us. But God knows that your every labor is not in vain. God knows that. God knows everything that you've done. He knows all the years, the toil, the trials, the hurts, the struggles, the pain. God knows all of those things about you. He knows how you've given yourself, and he's glad of that. But he knows everything, and he knows what he wants to do for you. I said he knows what he wants to do for you. I said he knows what he wants to do for you and what he wants to do for me. Oh, listen, we've just received the down payment of our inheritance. Amen. It seems like I received so little, but he knows that, and he wants to bless you to a place to where you can depend on him and him alone. He knows all you've done. He's put your tears in a bottle, the scripture says, your victories, your struggles, your losses, your hurt. He knows right now about you. He's noticed you here today and tonight. He knows everything. He knows everything. And he's ready to release favor. Somebody say it's upgrade time. Somebody say I'm going to first class. You see, God's got insider information about you and insider information about me that he's going to take and work it all to good. Amen? Amen. All things work together for good. It's working. It's working. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't give in to the lesser things. Don't settle for the lesser things. Amen? Don't settle for those things, but lift your heart fresh and anew. Number 8, there's a banquet table favor. Verses 14 to 16. And now Ruth is coming up through this process of favor to where God is going to get her. Verse 14, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here and help yourself to some food. You can dip your bread in the sour wine. So she sat with his harvesters. Boaz gave her some roasted grain to eat. She ate all she wanted, and she still had some left. You know, God has a table for you in the presence of your enemies. David said that. He's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so he brings her to his table. I think of Mephibosheth in the Old Testament, who was a descendant of Saul, who was the last remaining descendant of Saul's kingdom. And David would not touch any of Saul's kingdom. He made that promise to Saul. And there's Mephibosheth, and he's back in a place called Lodibar, a place of barrenness, and he's crippled. And he was crippled when his nanny dropped him as she was running out the door, afraid that somebody was going to come and get him, and he was crippled. And I think of Mephibosheth. When David called for him and brought him into the house, he said, Mephibosheth, five times, you're going to eat at my table. And there he was, and he brought him to the table, lame, halt, full of rejection, full of stigmas, full of all kinds of things, and he brought him in. And I want you to know that God's got a table of refreshing. If you're lame, if you're halt, you got things in your mind, whatever it is that you may carry tonight, rejections and pains and hurts and all kinds of things, you can come to his banqueting table and you can swing those crippled legs under that table and you can sit and dine with the best of them. Amen? We're dining with the best of them. And he prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. But the next thing I love is so beautiful. He said, also, no longer let her work in the heat of the day and in the sunlight, but drop handfuls of purpose for her everywhere she goes. Just drop handfuls on purpose, and she doesn't even have to work for it. She doesn't even have to earn it. You see, favor doesn't come by earning. It comes by yearning. It comes by yearning. That's where favor comes from. I want God. I want all he has. I'm going to be the best Christian I can ever be. I'm going to be the best church member I can be. I'm going to do everything I know to do and the Word tells me to do. I yearn after God. I seek, my heart pants as a deer like the water brook after God. I yearn for God. It's based on desire. And he said, drop handfuls of purpose. So ever share where she went, all of a sudden there was a pile of grain and she'd scoop it up. Here's another pile of grain and scoop it up. And God does the same thing for you. My prayer is that you begin to find handfuls on purpose everywhere you go. Handfuls on purpose. They're there. Begin to look for the favor. Handfuls on purpose just for you and yours. And your life, I'm looking for them. I find them all the time. God is so good. He is so good. If you only knew what's standing up here, God is so good to honor his word and his promises. And he yearns to bless you. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, so our enemies can see the grace and favor of God on us. He wants the devil to see that. That's what he showed him to Job. He said, hey, look at him. And Job said, yeah, you've got him so blessed up and blessed in and blessed over and blessed under and blessed from above. I can't get to him because you've so blessed him. God does that for us. Remember the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, Moses said, go ahead and ask the people for gold and silver and cloth and spices and all of these different things. And the scripture says that God was favorably disposed against the Egyptians for the children of Israel. And when they got ready to go, 6 million of them, they had all of that silver, they had of all that gold, they had everything because God was going to use it to build a tabernacle. God gave them favor to further his work. He was giving them ability and access so that when the time came, they could build the tabernacle out of all those materials, which would be a picture of Christ, which would be a picture of the church, and all of the good things to come. You see, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and that's good. But I'll tell you something else. God will make our enemies give to us. Amen? If God did it with Moses and the crew coming out of Egypt, how much more under the New Testament where the blessings of Abraham are ours? God's going to do that so much more. So what do you do with your enemies? Pray for them, do good to them, help them out, and then pray that God will allow you to plunder them. Well, Pastor George will settle that theology out later, but I mean, if God did that for the children of Israel, how much more? How much more? And then that's all going to come back someday when the riches come back to us through them. How much more? You got to live in a how much more favor. How much more do you want to do, God? How much more do you want to do, Holy Spirit? How much more do you want to do? I don't care. How much more? When I got saved as a good Southern Baptist, I got saved one Sunday. The next Sunday, I was teaching Sunday school. Come right out of the bar, literally just about a week out of the bar. And there I am teaching Sunday school, and I'm standing there, and there's these fifth and sixth grade kids. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, what on earth am I doing? What am I doing here? And they'd given me a lesson to study and say, go ahead and teach. And little did they know, but as I was teaching those little kids, the Holy Spirit said, there's more. There's more. A few weeks later, I was teaching some adults, and the Holy Spirit said, there's more. There's more. There's more. And then a few weeks later, I got called to preach and preach that first time in a jail, and the Holy Spirit said, there's more. Then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he said, there's more. There's more. And he keeps saying to me, there's more, there's more, there's more. The favor of God brings that in for us. Amen? Number 9, there is overflow favor. And we notice in verses 17 to 21, we see that she worked in verse 21, it says, she worked until the wheat harvest was all in, until the harvest was complete. There's overflow favor. God's going to give us the energy. He's going to give us all the strength. He's going to give us the resources. He's going to give us everything we need in order to see the Great Commission accomplished. God will not be defeated. Amen. And until we lay our bodies down and take our last breath and do whatever we do in the end, you know. I was talking with Rick Warren last night, and Rick's is 86, and he just planted a YWAM base in, George, you know, in Argentina. And he said he just wanted to go doing that. And I said, Rick, well, one thing about it is if we go when we're preaching, we're right with God and we're ready to go. And he said, I never thought of that. I said, yeah, but that's the way I want to go. I want to be in a position of being right with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Finally, number 10, and you never thought we'd make this. But Pastor George is still sitting here. Number 10 is there is finish and touches favor. Finish and touches favor. Now, we notice that the next step in the rest of those verses is she positions herself at the feet of Boaz, and he grants her favor. And just as we position ourselves at the feet of Jesus, we have intense and immense favor. And then he marries her. And then she gives birth, of course, to Jesse, then to David, and then Jesus comes. You see, God was bringing her all the way up to his highest moment of favor when she would give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. And God is giving us increasing levels of favor to bring us up to do the greatest work and to be the greatest we can be before he is done with us. Psalm 35 says his favor lasts for a lifetime. Did you hear me? A lifetime. I got favor tonight. I'm going to have it when I go home. I'm going to have it tomorrow morning. And I'm going to have it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. Until I am through, I am going to have the favor of God because it lasts for a lifetime. And so are you. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Give Jesus a good clap. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's time to go, and some of you need to go. But I just want to release. I just want to release the impartation of favor. Now, I don't have a whole lot going for me, but I know I got favor. And you can release what you have. Okay? If you have it, you can release it. And you can impart it. And so, if you want an impartation of favor, just slip out and come and stand here real quick, real fast. And I just want to pray, and I want to release that. And Pastor George, we just release that to you now. We'll just release it in the name of Jesus. Noticing favor. How many, somebody here think you've been forgotten? You've been forgotten. God's forgotten you. He hasn't. He notices you. He's noticing you right now.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.